It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. And thank you to each and every one of you for listening. You each, you're treasured, you're valued. You have a purpose. Strive for excellence. Live with intention and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. I so appreciate each and every one of you joining us. And thank you to this great team that I get to work with, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is very important work that we are doing, producer Steve, looking at these issues, searching for truth and clarity to help you get your brain around these issues so that you can engage with your friends, your family, and your colleagues in informed, reasonable conversations. Don't you agree, producer Steve?
Oh, you said informed. Oh, man.
That is what we do here.
Yes, it's what we do. It's just half the nation does not, so.
You know, I do think that people are waking up. I was around a group that several millennials this weekend, and I was just listening, and they were saying this whole wokeism is goofy. And I think that wokeism, I think people are starting to realize that it is it's just crazy. I call it Crazyville. It's just Crazyville to me.
What is the definition of an elixir? Some medicinal thing that will cure an ill, I guess. I keep thinking of this wokeism and the resulting hypocrisy is an elixir, and it's getting people to stop and say what? I mean, look at the nonsense coming out of Georgia and these quote unquote woke companies who are deliberately hurting their bottom line now. Like I said, and it was said again this morning on one of the other shows, when half the nation stops drinking Coke, when a large segment of Delta's passengers say, hey, I've got other airlines I can fly. So, you know, what are they doing? What are they really doing to themselves?
Well, we'll find out. And you brought up a really interesting point when we were doing our pre-call as I was driving in. And that is Major League Baseball. When you go to pick up your tickets, you have to show some ID, right? I mean, can you honestly think people would just come up and say, hi, my name is, I'm here. My name is Steve Ebling. That's me talking. And I'm here to pick up my tickets. And they go, okay. I mean, really? Do we really think that that is what we're going to do? So one of the most sacred things in our country, and that is to vote, that we're not even going to make sure that the person that says that they're who they are, that they're going to vote. I mean, the hypocrisy, the idiocy of it. It is absolutely idiotic, Steve.
Well, then I think along, you know, I try to be a big picture thinker. Okay, so they successfully pressure Major League Baseball to yank the All-Star game out of Atlanta, which has all kinds of repercussions in it in terms of the revenues that would have been drawn in to hotels and restaurants and whatnot.
Okay, and now, stop right there.
Okay,
with that thought, think of all the people with all the different descriptors, you know, black, white, man, woman, all of the other descriptors that they have. All of those people that were working, they no longer will have that job for that particular part of the business. So continue on.
They certainly won't benefit, you know, like they might have, you know. And now comes along our governor, and I don't know how he did it. I guess I really don't want to know, but, you know, he brings the All-Star game to Colorado in Coors Field July 13th. It's going to happen. And Colorado has voter ID. You got to show an ID to vote. So, you know, does Major League Baseball not think, you know, what are they thinking? Who knows?
Okay, but do you realize here in Colorado that ID does not have to be like a valid driver's license? You can actually show a bill, an energy bill, like your XL bill. Your
utility bill. Okay.
So we kind of have voter ID and we kind of don't, but we have mail-in ballots, which that is a place where there can be significant funny stuff going on. And the fact that I think that you can actually, quote unquote, pick up ballots for 9 other people, you can actually submit 10 ballots. And I think the idea was, okay, let's say that you have an elderly neighbor that can't get to the voting place, and maybe they don't drive to the post office, so you could actually pick up that ballot. And you know, that sounds like that makes some sense, yes. But what it does is it opens up this opportunity for ballot harvesting. And when they talk about vote, wait a minute, why don't we make sure that we understand what we are voting on? Many times, look at this with Biden. How many people are looking at this saying, well, I didn't think he was going to raise taxes on me. I thought he was just going to raise taxes on the rich guys. And now they're saying, wait a minute.
And when he totally trashes our energy policy, and, well, wait a minute, it cost me another $15 to fill up. That wasn't supposed to happen, was it?
That wasn't supposed to happen.
The humorous part in the voting thing was what was in the news, what, a week or two ago, Jimmy Carter and James Baker, two gentlemen who got together, and they identified all the woes of voting, potential woes, and they put out a document which was soundly, secreted away, which actually became the roadmap for all this voting fraud that we've witnessed in the last how many months, how many years, I don't know. But it actually became their roadmap. It was, you can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't make this stuff up. And so I really would suggest that let's really showcase Colorado for this Major League Baseball game. And let's really show them what we're made of. Because take a look at Senate Bill 21-200. This has been the prime sponsors are Senators Winter and Marino and Representative Jackson. And there's no fiscal note on what it's going to cost us yet, but it's reducing greenhouse gases to increasing environmental justice. And basically what it does, it says current law requires the Air Quality Control Commission. So that's your first word there. That is an unelected bureaucratic commission. And it gives them the power to adopt rules that will result in the statewide reduction of greenhouse gas emissions of 26% by 2025, 50% by 2030, and 90% by 2050. As compared, and then they go back and they compare it to 2005 emissions. And that was before Colorado had this booming growth. So what it does is it asks them to finalize some implementing rules by March 1st of 2022. And then on down here, Steve, if you look into the bill, it has, again, one of those force words, requirement. And it says, it says Section 3 adds GHG to the definition of regulated pollutant and prohibits the AQCC, that's the Air Quality Control Commission, from excluding GHG emissions from the requirement to pay annual emission fees that are based on emissions of regulated pollutants. It gives the AQCC rulemaking authority, you hear all these words, of these force words, to set the GHG annual emission fee and authorizes the use of these fees for outreach to an engagement of disproportionately impacted communities. Who is going to determine that? So what I really think we should do for the All-Star Game is that I think that we should power the lights and the stoves for all the concessions, but the lights and everything at Coors Field by renewables.
Okay. We'll get to work on that.
I think that we should really show what Colorado is really about, and I think that there should be no fossil fuels used for anything on this All-Star Game.
And just for the TV cameras, let's hurry up. We only have a couple months to do this, but let's get some wind generators built that they stick up right by the light standards, but the big light poles out in the outfield, so that when the TV cameras are looking out that way, they can see, hey, look at these.
I think that would be great. And then for sure, we just make sure I have solar panels and just get those installed right now, solar panels all around Coors Field, and no fossil fuels. I think that we need to walk the talk of what these legislators are doing. Now, it says that Governor Polis is not really going to be supporting this right now.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask you about that. Yes, in the what is it, the, oh, not with the publication, the Business Journal.
Right. It was in the Business Journal. It says that actually he's not really supporting this. That's probably, I think, what he says to the public right now. But really, he doesn't have a handle on these senators and these representatives in the Democrat Party, and suggesting that they don't even bring this up. So this is politics. It smells like politics. And my friends, do you really want to live in a state that says that, but what is it, by 2050, that they will have reduced energy consumption by fossil fuels by 90%? Fossil fuels, as Rick Turnquist has said, fossil fuels, capitalism, and individual property rights is what has really fueled the whole American idea. And this, again, you can go back to the World Economic Forum, where they say that they are wanting to basically take down the West. And Senators Winter, Marino, and Representative Jackson are right there. You can thank them in a few years when we are no longer prosperous and China is just spewing all kinds of stuff into the air with abandon as they are getting their economy going, and we have people that are in office that are want to kill our economy. Steve, your final comment on that?
Well, just the one thing that popped up in terms of you know, maybe we need to get a specialist on to help us walk through this, because the terminology here, finalize its implementing rules by March 1st, 2022, including specific net emission weight limits. What the heck is that? I mean, you're going to go downtown Denver, ask the man on the street. He's like, well, what do you think of the net emission weight limits, where they are right now, versus where they want to take them? I mean, what kind of a response are you going to get to that question?
Yeah, but the other thing is you need to look at this, and that is the redistribution here. And that is these forced fees that then they're going to be giving to disproportionately, what do they call it, impacted communities. Who makes that decision? And quite frankly, what this really is you can see as these fees are taken, there are bureaucrats and politicians that have their hands on that money as the money goes by. And maybe some does go to, quote unquote, a disproportionately impacted community. Who defines what that is? And certainly, they're not going to want those communities to do better, because, gosh, once they do better, then they can no longer make the case that they take money from other people to give to them. It is a terrible, terrible thing. And that is Senate Bill 21-200. Down there, and that again is Senators Winter, Marino, and Representative Jackson. We're going to go to break. We are an independent voice. We're searching for truth and clarity for these issues. And one of the reasons that I get to do this is, first of all, those that you contribute and support the show, I so appreciate you. And also, I have these great sponsors. And one of my terrific sponsors is on the line with me. That is Jen Hewlin. She is the owner of Water's Edge Winery. She is an entrepreneur. Oh, gosh, Jen, it's spring. What is happening there at Water's Edge?
Well, hey, Kim and Steve, it's good to chat with you guys again. It's been a minute. It is spring, and I'll tell you what, it is so exciting. The weather is warming up. We've got new patio umbrellas. The last week or so, we have had the most amazing guests come and join us out on our patio. And we've got some new things coming up. We found a local bakery that does gluten-free items. So for all of our gluten-free customers, yeah, we've got pizza crusts. We're working on finding our favorite bread so we can do our sandwiches. And we've also added in a vegan cheese. We call it Cheegan. Cheekily, we call it Cheegan because we think it's funny. But we have enough guests that come in and say, you know, I love all the cheesy goodness on your menu, but I just can't eat it. So the chef and I have been working hard to accommodate those things. And I will tell you, I had the gluten-free pizza crust this past week, and it was amazing. It tasted just like regular pizza crust. So very happy.
Creativity and innovation has really been great, because I remember when gluten-free bread and pizza crust first started, it looked like a brick. And now you have something that you think that it tastes really good. So you are always doing creative and innovative things there. You've seen a challenge there. You had a request like a true capitalist. You're like, well, let's go out and fix that problem. So, hey, Jen Hewlin, how can people get more information about the winery?
Well, you can learn about us on our website. It's wewdenver.com. Or if you follow us on social media, I'm always posting on Instagram and Facebook, and you'll see the new gluten-free items that I have listed. And the cool thing, Kim, is I'm supporting another local business. They're here in Arvada, and it's Gluten-Free Things. Good friend of mine, John, runs it, and his work is fabulous, and the food is amazing. So I think you can just swing in and pick up cupcakes and different kinds of baked goods from him as well. So highly recommend you go visit him as well.
Okay. Well, Jen Hewlin, thanks so much. You are such a valued partner of the show.
Well, we love you, Kim. Keep doing what you guys are doing, and it's good to talk to you.
Most definitely. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll have more headlines.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there, where you will get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcasts and op-eds. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Steve, I wanted to say congrats to the Baylor Bears. They won the NCAA basketball championship last night. Pretty exciting. And, of course, a great place to watch all the games is Hooters Restaurants. And I was talking to somebody the other day that went to the Rockies game, and they did not have a great experience with the physical distancing and the forced mask wearing. And then I talked to some other people, and they said in their area, that was not the case. But if you don't want to mess with all that stuff, go to Hooters Restaurants. They have all the TVs there, and they have all kinds of specials. You don't have to jump through a whole bunch of those crazy hoops that you have to if you go down to the stadium. And go to my website. That's kimmunson.com for more information. And Hooters Restaurants is a great partner of both the Kim Munson Show as well as America's Veteran Stories. And they have five locations: Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. I didn't get to watch the game last night. Did you happen to watch it, Steve?
No, ma'am, I did not.
Well, congratulations, though. It is an exciting thing to win a championship, and so we wish great congratulations to the Baylor Bears on that. We had not gotten to our quote of the day, and Steve, this is actually one that you sent over to me. And it's an important one. Thomas Sowell. I mean, my gosh, what a guy. And
we have been quoting him quite a bit lately. He's busy.
He is busy. He was born in 1930. And he is an American economist, social theorist, and senior fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution. He was born in North Carolina. It's a remarkable story, Steve. He grew up in Harlem. He dropped out of high school and served in the Marine Corps during the Korean War. When, upon returning to the United States, he enrolled at Harvard University. He graduated magna cum laude in 1958. He received a master's degree from Columbia University in 1959 and earned his doctorate in economics from the University of Chicago in 1968. And then he served in a whole bunch of different places, and he is currently the senior fellow on public policy there at the Rose and Milton Friedman at the Hoover Institute. And this is what he said. "For the anointed traditions are likely to be seen as the dead hand of the past, relics of a less enlightened age, and not as the distilled experience of those who faced a similar vicissitudes before." And that's Thomas Sowell.
Okay. Far be it for me to correct your grammar here, but I went back to the original. There's a comma after anointed, and that's significant.
Okay.
For the anointed, and I think he's pointing mostly to the younger generations.
Oh, okay.
The traditions that we you and I hold dear. And the first ones that came to mind were like Memorial Day or Veterans Day. These traditions, like he says there, seem to be of the dead hand of the past and relics of a less enlightened age, because certainly we know that these youngers are they're enlightened. They're woke.
Okay, you know what? Let's do. I normally don't do this, but let's go to the quote for the end of the day, because you had given me the Thomas Sowell. And well, let's just talk about this. He says, ours may become the first civilization destroyed, not by the power of our enemies, but by the ignorance of our teachers and the dangerous nonsense they are teaching our children. In an age of artificial intelligence, they are creating artificial stupidity. I think that must be a new one of his.
Well, that's what's so cool. That's why one of the reasons I sent it over to you immediately, because Thomas Sowell is the contemporary. I mean, how many times do we pull these great quotes, but the person has already deceased, mm-hmm. maybe by a couple hundred years already. But here's Thomas Sowell living in our day and age, and he brings his contemporary sword, and he's swinging it.
He really is. And so I guess I won't. Maybe I'll give that again at the end of the.
Yes, please do.
We may do that. And I hadn't mentioned it yet. We're going to be talking with Josh Philip in segments 3 and 4. And you know him. He's an award-winning reporter with the Epic Times. He's the host of Crossroads. And we've got a lot that we want to chat with him about. I thought I'd go to this headline that Patty had pulled. And this is from Fox News. It says, the GOP seeks to pull back the curtain on the Biden tax shelter hypocrisy. And this is the thing. We always mention this, Steve, that big government and big business like each other. Because what happens is that big business can influence government to put in laws or tax shelters or things that will protect them, where the little guy, actually, they don't have the wherewithal, the money to hire all the accountants and the attorneys and all that to make sure that they are covered. But that what happens then is you see tax shelters occur. And this was so interesting about the Bidens. As a private citizen in 2017, 18, and 19, Biden and First Lady Jill Biden routed $13 million in income through two S corporations, Celtic Capri Corporation and the Geocopic Corporation, to avoid paying taxes that help fund Medicare and the Unaffordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare. While entirely legal, Biden has advocated eliminating such loopholes while also promoting the expansion of both Medicare and Obamacare. And I always, and this is really the American idea, is that the laws really should be applicable across the board. And if somebody is advocating for higher taxes, they certainly should have to pay those higher taxes instead of trying to route ways that they don't have to do that. But we see that all the time. People on both sides of the aisle. You know, when I remember as taxes were going up, and I was talking with someone at the time that used to be the word liberal. I kind of struggled with that. But what we've actually seen is what has taken over the Democrat Party is radical activists. But I remember being in a conversation about tax increases with someone. And they said, well, I don't mind paying higher taxes. And then they looking at me like, how selfish of you that you would not want to pay higher taxes. And as I've come to think about it, it's like, if you want to pay higher taxes, write a check and do it. But that doesn't mean that you should use public policy to take more of everybody else's money. But then when you look at real human nature, most people... and those same people were actually taking advantage of the cash for clunkers. Do you remember that, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Another wonderful government program and shovel-ready projects, yes.
Yes. And so anyway, the Bidens are very a lot of hypocrisy. Let's just put it there. And then another thing, and I really am sad to mention this, and this is from the Epic Times. But it looks like China, Beijing, is accelerating their timeline to possibly invade Taiwan. And if, in fact, that happens, Steve, that is going to be a very tragic thing if that happens.
it has implications that are, you know, worldwide. And we, in our lifetime, we know that Taiwan has always been a burr under the Chinese government's saddle. But this time, things are you know, they're, things are, the stars are aligned, and this could be bad.
Yes, it could be very, very bad, particularly with Biden and Harris in the White House, because they both have such deep ties to China, and I don't see that they would really really stand for Taiwan. But again, and I think I am somewhat concerned that everyday people are not realizing that there is this danger on the horizon with what is happening in Washington, and then, of course, here in Colorado as well. But let's talk to Jason McBride, Senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management. There are so many unknowns out there. The stock market is at extreme highs, and I think it's a good time to sit down and maybe assess if you want to keep all that where it is, or if you might want to make some changes. There's just so many unknowns out there, Jason McBride. Happy Tuesday to you.
Well, happy Tuesday to you too, Kim.
And with all these unknowns, we talked a little bit yesterday about tax increases, and we don't really know about that. And Jason, I had a question for you, because last week you had mentioned the Roth IRAs, where you could pay taxes to put the money into it now, but you wouldn't have to when the money comes out. I am concerned if we would continue to have these kinds of politicians and bureaucrats in power, that they might change all these rules on our retirement plans. What's your thoughts on that, Jason?
You know, Kim, that has always been a concern, and it's a question that has come up for as long as I can remember, since Roth IRA started all the way back in 1998, that will the government somewhere down the road renege on that promise they made for these accounts to be tax-free and somehow tax them in some way. And Kim, you know, nobody can guarantee that the government won't do anything, but I think that would be, you know, kind of a bridge too far. And what I believe they're more likely to do is make it more restrictive and more difficult for people to get money into Roth IRAs at some point. But again, they may not, because, you know, how politicians are, Kim. All they think about is the revenue they can get now, and they don't think any more than a few years down the road. So I think they like Roths in that regard, because people that are putting money in Roths are paying the taxes now. And as you know, politicians think about the now a heck of a lot more than the later.
Okay. And can they change the tax rates? Because basically Biden said he was going to repeal the Trump tax cuts. Would that happen for 2021, or would that not be until 2022, or do you know?
Well, I don't know. I guess if Congress passes legislation on that, there's no rule that I'm aware of that stops them from making it retroactive back to the beginning of this year, although I can't remember, you know, at a time, at least in recent history, where they've had like a tax increase like that and made it retroactive. Usually it kicks in at the beginning of the next year. But again, that's, I guess, the government, they could legislate whatever they decide they want to, can't they?
Well, that's true. They probably really wouldn't do that till after the election in 2022. But so that, I think where I'm headed here is, now might be a great time to sit down and do some planning with you right now, because it would really, I think it would be really dumb from a political standpoint for them to make it retroactive. So anyway, I would recommend that people give you a call. Jason, what is your phone number?
Well, the easiest way to get us is to call us, Kim. Give us a call, 303-694-1600. We are open for business, face-to-face meetings. You know, we love meeting listeners and doing plans and helping people out. So again, give us a call, 303-694-1600, and we hope to see you soon.
Sounds great. Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Josh Philip, and he is the winning investigative reporter with the Epoch Times. He is the host of Crossroads, and I've got some questions from one of his most recent podcasts, and we may just jump in immediately and ask him about Taiwan. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. On the line with me is Josh Philip, and he is a winning investigative reporter with the Epoch Times, host of Crossroads. He is an expert on China. And first thing, Josh, welcome to the show.
Great being here, Kim, as always. Thank you.
It's great to have you. And question on the table before I get to the things I told you I was going to ask you about. Taiwan. One of your colleagues there at the Epoch Times has reported that the Chinese Communist regime is accelerating their plans to invade Taiwan, and it looks like they're moving things around from a military standpoint. You're an expert on what's happening over there. What's your thoughts, Josh?
Well, they've been expecting this for a long time now. Hong Kong, when the Chinese Communist Party went in and did Hong Kong's autonomy, a lot of people in Taiwan saw that as a warning shot that they were going to be next. The thing that would prevent the Chinese Communist Party's invasion of Taiwan would be a strong U.S. backing of Taiwan, strong U.S. alliance with other countries backing Taiwan, and a strong willingness to stand up and defend Taiwan if it came down to it. The U.S. right now is not showing any of those things. You know, we're too busy talking about, you know, gender equality in the military and, you know, identity politics than we are about war fighting right now. Current tests on war gaming show the United States losing if there were to be a battle over Taiwan, at least losing in the near, you know, in the near China seas area. And at the same time, too, you know, we let the Chinese Communist Party roll in and build all these defensive islands around Taiwan. They call the nine-dash line throughout most of the South China Sea. And so, you know, the game is very far along right now. I think Trump got in. He formed the Quad Alliance with India, Japan, and Australia. And he also pushed back very hard against China. But Biden's been pretty much, you know, kind of undoing a lot of that. He's kept the sanctions against the CCP in place. But he dropped a lot of the programs to remove, for example, Chinese spies from our universities, go after people taking money under the table from the Chinese Communist Party. And he's already showing signs that he's willing to negotiate with the Chinese Communist Party and pretty much just come on hands and knees, give them whatever they want, even if they come to the table and just insult us. That's where things are at, unfortunately.
Josh, what does that mean for everyday Americans?
It means right now, as you speak, the Chinese Communist Party is trying to overtake the United States as the world leader. They're building a new currency to overtake the U.S.-led international currency system. If that happens, already, for example, as we speak, I've been warning about this for a long time, already as we speak, the Chinese Communist Party is partnering with the SWIFT payment system to bring its digital currency global. As soon as the CCP can make its currency global, it can start getting countries in Africa, Latin America, Middle East, Asia, which it already has many countries, most countries, I'd say, in these regions. I can get them to start using their system instead of the U.S.-led dollar. They go around these countries doing these infrastructure programs to get them in debt traps, to do influence campaigns, They've already coerced Japan, most of Europe, in their reserve bank, for example. As soon as that plays out, which could be within the next year or two, we're going to watch the U.S. dollar take a major hit, including with, you know, debt coming back on us. We're going to see massive inflation. We're also going to see, I think, the United States start to lose influence internationally, especially as the U.S. stops taking these strong stances that Trump took, because, you know, I think that was what a lot of people respected us by. Biden's rolling all that back now. We can expect some remaining support in Canada and Europe, but financial interests, they're going to lean more towards China as well. And so that's the way it's heading, at least. And so you're going to watch U.S. influence wane a bit. You're also going to watch the U.S.-led international order, which includes the financial system and the system of sanctions, also begin to fade. That this is already taking place.
Well, that's pretty daunting. What do you think we should be doing here as everyday people? Because if America falls, then liberty across the world falls.
It's true. You know, what the United States represented was an anomaly in the pattern of history. It was an experiment in government that, you know, the idea that a free people is given individual rights and liberties, and if government is interpreted not as a force to, you know, impose order on them, but rather to defend their own natural rights, then they can create a prosperous and harmonious society. America was proof that that worked. And any country, any totalitarian regime trying to prove otherwise, communism being the biggest example of it, would look to America as, you know, the biggest thorn in their side, because the very existence of America and the success of America disproved all the narratives they were using to push their totalitarian policies. At the same time, too, people could flee those countries for the United States. If the United States falls, that falls. At the same time, too, I do feel that these systems are weak now. I think there's been, even though the governments are becoming more extreme, more totalitarian, I think there's been a grassroots kind of like moral awakening around the world. And not just Trump. You even saw it end of Obama starting to show its head. I think it was that phenomenon that led to Trump being elected. It was not Trump himself that caused it. And so there's a grassroots awakening happening, not just in the U.S., but around the world, that I think is going to be very hard for these countries to deal with. Because a government can do whatever it wants, can say whatever it wants, but if the people don't carry it out, the government has no real influence and no real power.
The grassroots, that's where I come to that conclusion as well, Josh Philip. And I'm feeling it here in Colorado. Governor Polis, he's an interesting political character, because it's actually very draconian out here in Colorado right now. But somehow he's from a political standpoint kind of convinces people that he's really on their side, that sometimes he says he's more libertarian. And from a political standpoint, I think he's very astute. But there is a grassroots awakening that I think is happening in Colorado. And unfortunately, from an establishment standpoint, of course, I think you probably see that in Washington, D.C. as well. The establishment, they really want to put the whole Trumpism and when I say Trumpism, it's not like lauding, you know, having him as a god. I'm looking at it as the policies, just like you mentioned regarding China and Taiwan. He was going to stand for Taiwan and stand against the CCP. And those are the things, and lowering taxes and lowering regulations. I know somebody that's pretty apolitical, a millennial, said, my bank account did pretty good under Trump. And I think it's going to be difficult for the radical activist Democrats, the establishment Republicans, to put that genie back in the box. But they sure are trying.
They're trying, but they're doing it with such extreme measures, and they're doing it so rapidly that, you know, the illusion is not working. Typically, you have this whole kind of slow boil idea with these policies. And you know, really what we saw under Trump was that, you know, the masks fell off, whether it was politics or the influencers or the academics or the media, the masks all fell off. We saw even the George Bush era Republicans were not what they claimed they were. And I think, again, this ties into this whole awakening that was already taking place. I think there was a real moral awakening, not just in this country, but in other countries as well, that included as well recognizing that government is not what it claimed it was, the media was not what it claimed it was, that the influencers in Hollywood were not what they claimed they were. We've watched the influence of these institutions really, really fade. I don't know if you remember, Kim, but, you know, 20 years ago, I remember when I was a kid, you know, movies had a lot of influence. A movie came out, it was the cultural phenomena of the whole society. If a celebrity said something, it was like, you know, gospel. These days, you know, they're just like clowns. It's like nobody takes them serious, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And you can watch it on Twitter. You go on Twitter and watch what these people say and just go in the comments and just read the insults that fly at them. You know, people aren't stupid. People are becoming more and more awake to, you know, I think the realities of this world. I think the establishment pushed things so hard, so fast that they broke the system, so to speak. And I don't, like you said, I don't think they can put the genie back in the bottle.
Okay. Well, hey, Josh Phillip, let's go to break. I had three things I wanted to ask you about. And one of them was American innovation. And you'd recently on your Crossroads podcast had talked about that. And also Donald Trump has his new website. And so we'd like to get to those two things when we come back, because I think they're somewhat related to this awakening that you just mentioned. And so we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, another one of my great partners are these entrepreneurs, these innovative entrepreneurs. And that is Hal Van Herke, Linnea Van Herke. They are the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool. And it is a family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And one of my listeners has reached out. Ken said that he had dropped in there, and what a selection they have. And they have blades from the best blade makers from throughout the world. So check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. We will be right back with Josh Phillip.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Josh Phillip, and he is a winning investigative reporter with the Epoch Times. He's the host of Crossroads, which is a great podcast, and he is an expert on China as well. But he recently had a podcast on what drives American innovation. And American innovation has been something that is very, very unique. And Josh, one of the other shows that I do is America's Veteran Stories. And that precipitated from a trip that I took in 2016 with a group that took four D-Day veterans back to Normandy for the 72nd anniversary of the D-Day landings. And that was something that I learned on that trip, is the American soldier, and even starting in the Revolutionary War, has been very innovative and very creative. And I think that it's really rooted in this American spirit. But speak to that, Josh.
I think it's true. It is rooted in this American spirit. You know, there's a reason why, despite the STEM education in China and in, you know, Soviet Russia being so much better than the United States to the point where they'd make fun of us, there's a reason why, despite that, these countries still stole our innovation. There's a reason why, despite the Chinese Communist Party really having some of the most competitive education programs in the world, I mean, the standards of education are so high there, why they still, again, steal our intellectual property like it's going out of style. It's because they can't innovate. Creativity and just technical knowledge are two very different things. Thinking outside the box is a very different thing. And believing that there's something beyond what you currently know is a very different thing. When you're dealing with people with this real institutionalized technical type of knowledge where they can only think within the boundaries of their own current knowledge, and they don't think of possibilities beyond what they currently know, you can't innovate like that. And so it's one of these things that makes America unique, is that people are taught independent thinking. And, you know, this is becoming an anomaly in the world these days, this type of independent thinking. And I think it's one of the things that drives not just American innovation, but really defines the American character. You know, Americans are people, including one of our biggest military strengths, who like to think on the fly, who can, mm-hmm. you know, I had a friend tell me a story one time that if Americans walk into a restaurant and, you know, they have eight people and there's four person tables, they'll just push them together and make a big enough table. If you do that in a lot of countries, they get offended by it. You know, you don't restructure things according to needs on the fly in a lot of places. This is part of what defines the American character. And the idea that you can create solutions as needed, as you go. And, I think this is something that, I don't know if I'd say it's easily lost, but I think it is rooted in the type of education and culture that we have in America that does really foster this idea of independence.
Okay, Josh, I have been struggling with this forced mask wearing out here in Colorado. And because it seems to me like we could have a creative and innovative answer to what was happening. It seemed to me like, from a school standpoint, that you could have a freedom answer to this. You could have a group of parents that says, I want my kids to go to school in person without masks so that we can see smiles and frowns and read people, you know, get to know people because of their facial expressions. And you could have people over here saying, I am so concerned about the virus that I want online learning, or I want my kids always masked up behind plexiglass. And it seems like we could have done an experiment if we had honest reporting. That's the other thing is we need to have honest reporting on these COVID numbers. But if we had all that, it seemed like that could have been a very innovative answer to what was going on. Your thoughts?
We did have that. But as you mentioned, the issue is honest reporting, which we didn't have. There were plenty of states and even countries that did not have the lockdowns, that did not have the mask mandates. And we saw the death rates in these countries was actually lower, and in states was actually lower, than in the ones that had the really draconian laws, like New York and California. We saw the states that had the more draconian laws actually did worse than those that did not do these types of things. And so that was, in itself, I think, an experiment that proved that, you know, the lockdowns and the mask mandates really didn't have an effect. And even have clowns like Fauci, you know, who gave statements early on saying that, you know, these things, masks don't protect against this. And, you know, but they keep it in anyways. The question is, why do they do it? And I'd say it goes back to, again, the China model. The Chinese Communist Party, the lockdowns, the mask mandates, this was the model they were promoting. And the only idea that it worked, you know, was basically because the WHO was lying to the world and the CCP was lying to the WHO that it had worked in China. And so, you know, again, it was just media not being honest with it is what it was.
Well, it also looks to me like a form of submission. I know this is, you know, way out there in a way, but it seems to me to be trying to break the American spirit. It just seems like this form of submission. And I was talking with someone the other day about the coronavirus numbers, that if the corona, you know, the numbers have to get down to a certain level and then we can move to a different, we have this goofy dial out here in Colorado regarding the numbers that come in. But Josh, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, first of all, the coronavirus is a cousin of the common cold. And if you're going to be testing people all the time for the common cold, people that don't even have a cold probably have that virus. They're going to test positive. Your numbers are going to stay up. It seems to me like it's a never-ending cycle that we could never get out of, because I don't think it's a true narrative. Your thoughts, Josh?
I think you're right, and I don't think the intention is to ever get out of it. again, I point at the China model. The Chinese Communist Party is manufacturing the whole system for this. The way of handling it, the lockdowns, the mask mandates, the way of recovering from it, which would be the virus passports, which they're doing, and the way of bouncing back economically, which is a mixed model economy where the government partially owns everything, and a digital currency where every purchase is monitored and regulated by the government. The next thing we have is that government has expanded its powers to the extent that they can control every one of your decisions, including, you know, your what you put in your body, your freedom of movement, your maybe even your freedom of speech at this point. Well, yeah, we see it online. Can't even criticize these things without getting censored.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're seeing now is that freedom is becoming a privilege and not a right. They are keeping their powers. They are not relinquishing this authority they've given themselves. And what they're doing instead is they're giving you a passport, saying that you are able to move freely, and that passport can be revoked as they see fit. They are not relinquishing their powers. They are keeping their powers. And freedom, the very nature of freedom, is being redefined through it.
Well, that takes us over. We have just a few minutes left, and that is the new website by Donald Trump, and that is 45office.com. What's your thoughts about that?
I would say this is the most significant issue in the world right now on the freedom side, and like Trump or not, you know, he's leading a grassroots movement right now, one that is pushing back against all of these systems we've been discussing. You know, totalitarian bend that society is going along. Right now, he's leading these new boycotts against MLB, Major League Baseball, and several other big companies, Delta Airlines and others, that were opposing, for example, the election integrity changes that were just made in Georgia. You see now this growing grassroots in this country, and I believe this is a trend that's going to spread. You know, one thing you have is when people get concerned, when they get worried, when they feel they're under assault and they feel they have no voice and no way of doing anything. When you have a large enough number of people like that, it only takes one person to step up and to guide the crowd, and you're going to have a very large and very powerful movement. And Trump is now stepping up to that plate. And like him or not, this is going to be one of the biggest phenomena, I think, in this country that I think is going to affect not just this country, but other countries as well. This pushback against totalitarianism.
A friend of mine had sent some pictures from across the world. This was probably within the last couple of weeks, about big groups of people protesting these forced mask mandates. And so there is something out there. As we're talking about China and what is happening there, I can feel this knot in my stomach. I also feel like this is our time. This is our generation. I say this all the time, Josh, that we stand as Americans on the shoulders of giants. And we cannot squander what's been given to us. And I'm feeling some hope with what you're saying with 45office.com. That is Donald Trump's new website. Is there risk that that could be shut down, or will, how's that going to work?
I don't think so. It'd be very hard to shut them down. It would look bad on them at this point. You know, if they have their own infrastructure, there's not much you can do. In fact, even Twitter banning Trump was, you know, a lot of European countries were very unhappy with that. And so, you know, one of the ironies of the globalist system is that totalitarianism in one country isn't necessarily accepted by others. You even have the Chinese Communist Party criticizing America of, you know, abusive policies now, which is kind of funny. But, you know, just in this last point, what you see now is, again, a disconnect between the leadership in different countries and the people of different countries. And leadership only has power to the extent that people are willing to carry out what they say to do. When you have civil disobedience and protests taking place and, you know, the way things are going, I think already this disconnect has taken place. It just takes one, you know, one spark to make people, you know, peacefully resist. And I think that spark has been made.
Well, that gives me hope, because I really feel as Americans, we do stand on the shoulders of giants, those that have been willing to sacrifice their last full measure of devotion so that we pass on liberty. this American idea to the next generation. I'm concerned, I guess we've got about a minute, the debt. It seems like with what Biden Harris are doing, I mean, incurring all this debt, I'm concerned that that could be something that could take us down, Josh.
Well, probably. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's going to impact them as well. And even aside from the trillions in spending they're making, you have the Federal Reserve now planning a new currency, a digital currency. Maybe it's that they want to crash the U.S. dollar and move to a new digital currency. I would not to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I think from a corrupt business standpoint, that would make sense. And even regardless, we're about to see major, major currency wars as the CCP pushes for this new digital currency, which they've already made and they're already going global with. We're about to see currency wars. And so, yes, the U.S. dollar is very likely going to take a huge hit, almost inevitably.
Okay, and final positive thought.
Well, a positive thought is that, you know, you're going to watch the institutions take a big hit. And again, you have a grassroots, a very large and very powerful grassroots, not just in the U.S., but even in China. 300 million plus Chinese who've renounced the Chinese Communist Party and its affiliates, already, you know, doing very similar things. There's an awakening in the world, and I think that's encouraging. It's just not getting much attention.
Okay. Josh Philip, you are doing such great work at the Epic Times and also with your podcast, Crossroads. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure as always, Kim. Thank you.
Okay. And our quote, we already said it once today, but by Thomas Sowell, he said, "Ours may become the first civilization destroyed, not by the power of our enemies, but by the ignorance of our teachers and the dangerous nonsense they are teaching our children. In an age of artificial intelligence, they are creating artificial stupidity." And my friends, as grassroots, we need to step up and take back the education of our kids. And there are many, many fine teachers out there. I want to make sure that I recognize that. Today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And